I was praying to approach the book of Kings, and I said to myself, how can I approach this book? How can I just even think of reading it and praying with the word opened and asking the Lord to how I can just approach, because we will be dwelling on this book for a while, and then we may go on to the Second Kings. And so as we did, when we started off, as Don reminded me earlier, that we started off with the book of Ruth, and we went to 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, I don't know, maybe in the course of 2 years, isn't it, those three books. And so it's such a blessing to be able to study this book systematically. And it was just like an opportunity for us to really dig deeper into the Word of God and hear God is speaking to us. I believe if, like myself, I've learned a great deal from those books, and whether through studying it or even Michael is studying and preaching and us also interacting. So if you have your service sheet there, and I gave a title, and the title reflects actually what was happening in the Second Kings, and also, I mean, Second Samuel, and also how we are making a transition into to First Kings. So I gave a title there saying Kings, and then I mean by Kings like First King and Second King, from grace to grace. From grace to grace. And that is, I could say that could be a title for the two books, isn't it? Because that is what it is. But maybe tonight I will have some reflections on a few verses. But I want to just say this is a bigger picture. Now we have an ailing king, King David, getting old. And we read here that king was very old. And well advanced in years, and he could not keep warm even when they put covers over him. You see, that is really a terrible winter for him, isn't it? It's like a terrible winter, that nothing that can warm him up. So just from old age. So his servant said to him, let us look for a young virgin to attend the king and take care of him. She can lie beside him so that our Lord the king may keep warm. Then they searched throughout Israel for a beautiful girl and found Abishag, a Shunammite, and brought her to the king. The girl was very beautiful. She took care of the king and waited on him, but the king had no intimate relationship or relations with her. Well, as we read this here, we may think of an old king. Why then the question is like a virgin? You see, a virgin to be brought to him to keep him warm. And also, is a king who was old enough, he couldn't think properly, even he couldn't put his house in order, even he's not thinking about who is going to succeed him. What struck me as I was reading, he was told in verse 20 of chapter 1 that where his servant told him, they said to him, my lord, his servants, and also I think his wife, Bathsheba, who went to him, and say, my lord, the king, the eyes of all Israel are on you to learn from you who will sit on the throne of my lord, the king, after him. And see, we see the fact that David has to have some life in him to be able to respond in this situation, isn't it? And so here we see a transition. This here, old man, old king, and no one is succeeding him. And now the whole nation is waiting and looking to him for who is going to succeed him. And here from verse 5, there will be another son who will try to get to power. So let me give a little title like maybe leadership succession, isn't it? And so it's something that we can learn ourselves from these texts. Well, the history, as we said in previously, that is, it's not about King David or about anyone else. It's the history of God. God who has made covenant with Israel. God who is sovereign. God who rules. Even when we have a king who looks like dead, you see, as if everything is going to be cast into chaos, God still reigns. And here, this King David is still is going to be used, even in his old age, really to put everything in the right place, according to the will of God, according to the plan of God. So God comes through, even when this looks like so grim and so difficult and dark from human perspective. Therefore, so that we, God's people, know, learns God's way and not take to actions, to take things to our hands. And how about leadership succession is a big theme, isn't it? Not only within the Christian church movement, even we see this in the every department of human endeavor. You see this in universities, senior lecturers trying to rise up into the highest position, maybe chancellor, the best they could do, isn't it? You see, or even to be the head of the department. Even in local schools, so you have teachers even in primary school, school like Waverly Christian College, where my children go, and you have primary school, secondary school. You have the head of the secondary, and you have the head of the primary. And then under the head of the primary, you have the head of the head of the primary, and you have the head of the you have the deputy, and then you have also in every level, like grade 1, 2, and prep and to 6, you have the head of the grade 6s, and then you have like a lot of leadership in place. And I suspect that among those people, they would want just really to go up until maybe to the deputy of the primary school, and then maybe to be the head, and then maybe you might get a chance to be the head of the whole campus, and maybe even to be called to be a principal. But actually, in the recent days, recent week, they were looking for a new principal because the former principal was coming to retirement after 45 years. So they had to pray and pray and pray, and then God gave them the right person. So here is and also in the politics, and so when you don't have a proper, really transition of power, things can go wrong, and people that under that systems of governments really can suffer if people have really a poor transition of the order. You see, and so today, if you are in those contexts as a Christian person, where are your eyes? Are your eyes on the position of the person before you and you want to take his place? Like what we will see in Adonijah, the son of David. You see, when the call to the kingship in Israel was something that was exclusively belonged to God himself. It's God alone who raises the king. He predicted this back then. Don't let us think that the Israel, they just started to invent this and say, like, we want to have a king. God knows that. God knows that we live in the fallen world, in a fallen world. And we will be really challenged by the orders around us. See? It's just everywhere. So what are you doing there? How do you do that? And you want to to follow others in a state of hearing from God. And so we see here the transitions of government. We can say this even in the church. In the church also, you have all different orders. You can have in one church, you can have four pastors and mega churches. You can have two pastors. You see, how did you become a pastor? Is that called God? And God also raised up other people to work with you. And so if you have a senior pastor, do you crave for his position and you want to maybe a chance to push him off? And then so you say like you to be the senior? Even a prime minister, deputy prime minister of the country, CEO, all these things. God calls and God, he is sovereign and his own people should be really very careful and not to choose for themselves and also not to act in such a way that will interfere with God's plans. Something Adonijah didn't learn, and he didn't know that God is faithful and God has his own people that he raised up to lead his own people. He's a wise God. And therefore, it's a dangerous thing that you crave a position that maybe not the time, or maybe even not called for, like Adonijah. You see, and we will learn a lot of things about him. But I need to make really a comment about this version, because it's really puzzling, isn't it? So why she was brought there, you see? And the Bible says, actually, in verse 4, the girl was very beautiful. She took care of the king and waited on him, but the king had no intimate relationship with her. The first part, the girl was very beautiful. She took care of the king and waited on him. You see, so here she did her job. God called her to do that. You see, so just to help the king to get to the next stage where he will be able really to be the king of Israel and now put the house of God, the whole house of God in order. So this girl has done her part. And virgin, as I was reflecting, is a sign of purity, is a sign of dependence on God, is a sign of someone, I want to say, vulnerable in a good way, because someone that has no husband, you see, so which means that it's only God can look after her. Mary, the mother of our Lord Jesus Christ, herself, she was a virgin, and she was communing with God, and she was the person God to use through whom his son, the sinless one, to come to this world. And so this virgin means a lot of things in the narratives. And also, when he was said to be beautiful, and later on we will learn from the text that Adonijah himself, escaping death, he will come back to death himself, because his eyes also were not only on the throne of Israel, but also his eyes were on this beautiful girl that the Bible says she was the most beautiful girl in the whole camp of the company of Israel. Because that was what has happened. So the servant went across the whole country, isn't it, to find a beautiful girl. And they found her that she had no match. So she was there. She was the Miss Universe, isn't it? Maybe she was the Miss Israel, you see? And so Adonijah here, his eyes were on this beautiful girl. And that was his downfall, actually. Solomon will kill him later on, because this man, he was crafty. Because King David gave a child to Solomon. And he told him a few people, I don't want to run ahead because we will be coming to this. But he mentioned Adonijah that don't do anything to him. And then because when he realized that King Solomon became the king, and then he ran into the temple, and he was just really holding to the horns in the temple. You see, so and that was reported to Solomon, and Solomon said, "Bring him. I won't do anything to him." But later on, he came to Solomon's mom, to asking if Solomon could give him this Shunammite, Abishag, as a wife. And King Solomon was very angry and killed him. Because in chapter 1, verse 52, Solomon said, "If he shows himself to be a worthy man, not a hair of his head will fall to the ground." But he was not worthy. You see, So, but if evil is found in him, he will die surely. He will die. So he killed himself by himself. You see, he brought himself to disaster. And so he will be killed. Now, we can observe these things. Power, sex, and money. So these three things really were present in the lives of this man, Adonijah. Because Adonijah, in verse 5, he made himself a king. He put himself forward and said, I will be king. So he went through all the coronation process, isn't it? By himself, he was not called by God. You see, just simply because he wanted power and this beautiful girl, and with that he will have a lot of money. You see, and I believe that was the reason maybe the text really revealed this. As a warning to those who may want to crave after this and yet call to be God's people. To be holy and not to crave after the things of this world. I think that was this morning when we read, isn't it? What is in First John, isn't it? We read that what is in the world? What is in the world? Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the craving of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. And so Adonijah here, really, he brings forward the state of his heart in this text, and trying to assume a throne that God only establishes. And so here he will face a lot of challenges. And every person also who has come to be a child of God and would want to behave in this way will face also a terrible fate. Because in 1 Peter, that we will be speaking about later, maybe in a few weeks to come, the God's people, they were described in this way, even as we read this morning, that there are people belonging to God. So they are now people of God. That is 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 and also verse 10. And then also in as you go on also, these people are people who are conscious of God. That is chapter 2, verse 19. So this is the description of God's people. Those who are God's people, they will be conscious of God, and they will not have their hearts really after the things that can bring them destruction. Because God's desire is not for us to be destroyed. And we have seen this in the heart of David. David wanted to spare anyone who was acting righteously. And Solomon also says this. He says, if this man proved to be worthy to live, and if there is no evil in his heart, I will not do anything to him. You see, but we see the judgment of God is just so close. God will move. God will not entertain any devices that his people would want to devise and would want to have shortcuts. And so these things before God, they never work. Even not to touch even these things that look are so beautiful, that can capture the imagination of this young man. You see, so even these things are very dangerous. And we are to fear God in these areas. And God, eventually, he has called us to walk with him and to serve him. And he wants us to be blessed. And that is why he wants us to wait. Solomon waited until the throne was really presented to him. You see, according to God, because that was what this man mentioned later, Adonijah. He said later, he said, well, Solomon, he became the king because that was the choice of God, and he was not chosen. You see, so if he knew that himself from the very beginning, he wouldn't taken himself into really these terrible states. Well, this man, he brought destruction to himself because he put himself forward, himself, the self here, interfering with the will of God. And so even in our prayers, in our seeking of his will for our lives, and so we need to make sure that we humble ourselves before him and not just like to just guess that maybe God is leading me this way, or maybe God is giving me this job, or maybe God is leading me to marry this man or to marry this woman. No, we need to be clear about this, and so that we don't miss real the blessing of God. So he got chariots and horses and ready with 50 men to run ahead of him. And also other things I was thinking of and I'm reflecting, is like this is a company of the whole Israel who were following David. And so now there will be a division within the ranks, within the kingdom of the four, from the within the close circle of David. So we read in verse 6, from verse 5 to verse 6. So his father had never interfered with him, this man Adonijah. David was, of course, was old, and he was not really thinking properly. And then so he didn't ask him, why do you behave as you do? He was also very handsome and was born next after Absalom. And so also deceiving people by his appearance, maybe he was impressing people. So he conferred with Joab. Joab, you remember this man, he was the leader of the army of David. And also there was a priest by name Abiathar, the priest, and they gave him their support. These people, they gave their support to Adonijah. What went wrong there? Because there was sin also in the heart of Joab. And later on, Joab really will show that clearly. Because David mentioned him to his son Solomon, that he killed Ner, son of Ner. And David said in the time of peace, when there was peace, there was no war. And this man he killed, he was killed by Joab, because Joab was revenging his brother, and that was so bad. And you need to remember, the things of God are registered. God does not forget things, isn't it? And he did that with Jacob and his sons, his son Reuben and Simeon, when they went and they killed the Shechemites, sons of Shechem, who raped their sister. And later on, when this man was prophesying, he mentioned this again. He said, this is sin that God will not forget until it is dealt with. So these men, there was sin also in their lives. And that is why they were unable to recognize really that they were in a danger zone. To give their support to this man that God rejects, God has not called. And so that is so dangerous. But Zadok the priest, another priest, you see, they were the same. They were priests, they were serving the same God, and yet discernment and the commitment to follow God and to wait on him and to see the error and to recognize the craves of the heart of a sinful man after power, sex. So these men recognize this. Benaiah, son of Joiada, Nathan the prophet, Shimei and Rei, and David's special guard did not join Adonijah. They did not join with sins. What a blessings. What a grace to be able to detect error and to say, I'm not joining this. No matter how much they urge you, no matter how things look so good, no matter how the logic really seemed to be convincing, you see, if you reject this, you will praise God. And later on, when you find out this, you are on the right track. And not to be deceived by mighty men like Joab. He was a warrior. And even like Abiathar, even in New Testament, was even mentioned as a high priest. And not to be really led even by people who seem to be godly. You need to discern things and test them yourself. Because we are the same before the Lord, isn't it? All of us, the priesthood of all believers, the Holy Spirit lives in us. Someone may come to you and say, oh, maybe the Lord said to me, this has happened. And I think I shared this with many young people in our church and maybe before our church. When I was a single man for a long time. But when we were going through revival, and really we were just so excited about what God was doing in our lives. And so we were just even not thinking about wives. There were certainly beautiful girls around us there. But actually they were seeing us also like really being engaged in things. So one day, a young woman came up to me and said to me, really, God told me that you will be my husband. You see, and I said, well, look, if the Lord has spoken to you that I will be your husband, I cannot say no to what God says. But let me go and discern this and pray. So, oh, no, God didn't say that to me. So I just quickly, because I think she realized that I will find out. Not because there was anything wrong about her. So actually, as a believer, anyone from God, any woman, every wife, every husband from the Lord is beautiful and is perfect. So these men, though men of God, and yet they were deceived, but the other camp, other people, they were really godly. And I think there is something for us in this, that we are real to persevere and to pray and to discern and to have the confidence and the love of God for ourselves, and that He wants to give us the best. And that He will not cut corners. He will not allow us to be deceived if we are willing to discern and to stand firm in our faith and also in our love for Jesus. And to know that He said He's a good shepherd. And He will lead us in the right path that are perfect for us. And everything that looks good that we have been denied of is not for our blessings. And especially the things that looks good and things like that for someone to be sharpened and to be trained to lead and to be a pioneer in the Christendom or in the Christian ministry or even to be useful in the body of Christ, you have to go through things and you have to be denied things of this world. Moses was an example, isn't it? Moses himself, he didn't live a life as a married person. He was just off with Israel, engaged. You see, not just going for holidays and saying having a nice time like we do here. We prepare our ute or whatever, and with a trail and all the food and all the fishing gears and everything, making sure that we met all the arrangements and wherever we are going, phones and more emails and things like that, just to have good times. God's people didn't have good time. They were engaged because it was a matter of life or death. Because the King of Universe has raised for Himself a people to witness that there is God. And God is the same, never changed. Even in our day today, He's looking upon a people like you and I. You may think of yourself as just an ordinary person, and yet God can advance His kingdom through you. So let us not be like Adonijah. Let us rather be like King David. From grace to grace, having made great mistakes, big mistakes, and yet the good things also, the reason I said grace to grace, because he prayed, he said to the Lord, I have sinned over and over and over and over. And then actually one of the best texts that really I think Michael finished this the book, the Second Samuel, with, was when he realized that he has sinned and he repented. He realized that. He said that in verse 10 of chapter 24, 2 Samuel, David was conscious stricken after he had counted the fighting men. And he said to the Lord, I have sinned greatly in what I have done. Now, O Lord, I beg you, take away the guilt of your servant. I have done a very foolish thing. Before David got up the next morning, the word of the Lord had come to Gad the prophet, David's seer. Go and tell David, this is what the Lord says. I am giving you three options. And then he made the right options. And then when David saw the angel who was striking down the people, in verse 17, chapter 24, he said to the Lord, I am the one who has sinned and done wrong. These are but sheep. What have they done? Let your hand fall upon me. On that day, Gad went to David and said to him, go up and build an altar to the Lord. So David went up as the Lord had commanded through Gad. When Araunah looked and saw the king and his men coming, and then he offered sacrifices. And so David built an altar, verse 25, built an altar to the Lord there and sacrificed burnt offerings and the fellowship offerings. Then the Lord answered prayer in behalf of the land, and the plague on Israel was stopped. Grace to grace. Although he sinned, but there is God. And this is what we call biblical theology, the redemptive history. Things would not end with us. There is God who is merciful and gracious. He will see to it that his kingdom advances. And of course, the heir is going to come, Jesus Christ. Well, we see Adonijah doing all these things, but they were coming to nothing. But the prophet Nathan, they rejected these things. So what can we take home tonight? And well, we have heard it all together, the ways of the Lord, from grace to grace. Even when we are frail and weak, God is still sovereign. He can even use us even in our frail age, like David. And David will be used later on. And let us not be like Adonijah, to crave for things, to take things to our hands. Think that we think, because the throne is God's throne, to lead God's people. It's a terrible thing. David had to go and offer sacrifices and pray before God. He had a heart for the people of God, isn't it? So Adonijah didn't have. His eyes were on the power and on this beautiful woman. And then with that money, you see, to come with that. These are really dangerous zone. And I pray that the Lord will work in our hearts and to live a life that is so free from all these three areas, that we might be truly those for whom Jesus died and was making for himself a people, a priesthood. If there are any things you need God to fulfill in your life, God is gracious. He's going to fulfill them. He's going to fulfill them. Even if you've just been called to be a prime minister or to be a queen or a princess, you see, all these things are possible. I think there were a few Australian girls who were married by royalties, isn't it? So, well, we have better things than that, isn't it, as God's people. So let us just persevere and just know that our God is God of all grace, from grace to grace. And he will deal with all any chaos, as you say, power, succession, or forgiveness, if there is any sin, and also fulfillment of his promises in our lives. Let us pray together, a short prayer.